But we have to understand, first and foremost, we have to understand his love for us. Amen. So, but I want to be, you know, before we have a little time of prayer, I had a couple scriptures. Is that okay? Okay. Talking about prayer. And so this is from the scripture. So Ephesians 6:18, you don't have these, Bill, I'm sorry. That's okay. Ephesians 6:18 Amplified says this: with all prayer and petition, pray with specific request at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. We'll talk about that because it says in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. So when it talk, you know, it talks about being in prayer, an attitude of prayer. Now, I used to condemn myself because I thought, man, I'm not praying at all times. You know, because I had this thing called a job. But you know what I've did? This is what I've learned. I'm just going to give you, based upon the prayer and how it's been applicable to my life, and maybe you guys would say, hey, this is how it's applicable to my life. But when I look at that, because it says first, it says pray in the Spirit. And so sometimes people will say, well, what's in the Spirit? I know I've talked to a lot of people, but let me go to another scripture to qualify that, what pray in the Spirit means. So 1 Corinthians, we know 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit, right? And being distributed to the different believers as God wills. And then we have the 1 Corinthians 13, right, the love chapter. And then it goes back into different spiritual, it goes into how practicing spiritual gifts in the church should look like. And doing things with decency and in order. But what I want to target on, put a bullseye on, is praying in the Spirit. So going back to that Ephesians 6:18, I just want to read that again real quick. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific request at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit. Okay? And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all of God's people. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, therefore, he's going to talk about how, and I'm talking about the Spirit, so we'll just talk about it as we go through. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue is to pray that he may interpret. And so we're talking about being in as we go through this, but see, we're talking about a church setting where if you came in and if I got up here and spoke in tongues for 30 minutes, it's not going to benefit anybody anything, right? Unless someone can interpret. Let's continue. In tongue is to pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, here's the key. It says my spirit prays. So when you're praying in a tongue, what's praying? Your spirit. Your spirit's praying. Is your mind praying? Well, no, let's continue. It says my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. And so, were you going to... This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 13. And this is in the New American Standard Bible, Isaac. So therefore, one who speaks, I'm going to start at 13 again. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue is to pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. So it's not saying that praying in the Spirit's wrong. It's just that when you're praying in the Spirit, your mind's not praying. Your mind is not coming up with the words on what you want to pray. It doesn't mean that it's bad. Sometimes praying the Spirit, man, is the best thing. Your spirit's productive, though. It's just that it's bypassing your mind, and it's your spirit. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. And then Paul says, verse 15, what is the outcome then? Question mark. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. So that's a tongue, right? But I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit. You ever heard of praying in tongues? I love praying in tongues. I will pray, I will sing with the Spirit, but I will sing with the mind also. So he's saying do them both, right? But then it goes on, it says, for otherwise, if you bless God in the Spirit only, he's talking about in the church, If you bless God in the spirit only, how will the one who occupies the place of the outsider know to say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you are saying? It says this, is for you are giving thanks well enough in the spirit, but the other person is not edified. They're not edified because they can't understand it. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, he says. And then he talks about this place being in the church, though. He says, but nevertheless, in church, I prefer to speak five words with my mind so that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. So sometimes people will take that last part and say, see, he'd five words is worth nothing in tongues versus 10,000 words in a, 10,000 words in a tongue versus that, you know, that means nothing versus five words that everybody can understand. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, and if you're together and people are just speaking in tongues, but there's no instruction, there's no edification, there's no teaching, nobody can understand it, it's not a benefit. Because before it says here, he says, you're giving thanks, he says, even the spirit is well enough, but nobody else understands. And so I go back to this, with all prayer and petition, pray. I'm going back to Ephesians now, 6:18. How can we have a more, I think, how I've learned to have a more effective prayer during the middle of the day? This is what's benefited me. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray with specific request at all times, on every occasion, in every spirit, in every season, excuse me, in the spirit. So I've learned that praying in the spirit throughout the day, it could be under my breath, in the Holy Spirit. Your spirit's praying. Your mind may not be productive. Of course, obviously I have times where we pray. We're going to pray tonight. So a specific need, we're going to pray together. But I've learned that during the day, I've practiced just praying in the spirit. And let me say that I can tell you an area where it's really been a benefit for me is anxiety. Has anybody ever struggled with anxiety? Or anxiousness trying to come against you, or fear, or whatever it is, I've learned that I'll just start praying in the spirit, because the enemy wants to come against all of us. And sometimes I don't have the capability to spend a bunch of time just being conscious of just praying in English. I may be doing some work on a computer on my way to town in a vehicle, or I take a little bit of time and I'll just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, it's a powerful weapon. To the point that now a lot of times I'll be just praying in the Spirit and don't realize it. And sometimes I got to be careful, because someone will say, excuse me? I was like, oh. But the power of praying in the Spirit. But let me just say the first thing. Here's the first thing of our salvation is understanding what? God's love. Because going back to 1 Corinthians 13, it says, I could pray in the tongue of men and angels, but if I don't have love, it means nothing. So an understanding of God's love, his love for you, you got to understand his love for you. And then because it says that his love has been shed abroad in our hearts, and then going out with that. But one of the powerful weapons in praying is praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying with understanding is when I pray with you in English, the language that I try to speak, English. That's my praying in my understanding, which is powerful as well. But praying in the Spirit gives you an opportunity to just be praying by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And see, sometimes we can shut it down. I mean, because there's been churches that they'll say, okay, now it's time for everybody to pray in the Spirit. And so we have these things where it just can be just a religious thing we do. Does that make sense? But that doesn't mean, as Pastor Lee, we used to say, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So praying in the Holy Spirit, if you do that, is a powerful weapon for our communication with God. It comes to the point that, you know, and it's different, and I just want to say this, that if you don't speak in tongues, the experience for somebody praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, is not the same for everybody. I've told you before, if I've hurt my wife, she was like 9 or 10 years old up at the altar, and the power of God hit her, and it was like, you know, like electricity going through her body. For me, I was cleaning windows on the job. And I thought, you know what? I heard a teaching from somebody, and what I did by faith, I just opened my mouth and I just started speaking whatever came out of my belly. And I just started speaking it. And of course, the devil tells you that's just gibberish. So what did I do? I just kept speaking more. I just keep speaking more and kept speaking more. And then pretty soon, it's like slowly but surely, it's like this pump began to prime to where speaking in tongues is one of the most important things in my spiritual walk as far as my connection with God. Praying in the Spirit, it bypasses what's going on here and here. Like I may be having some anxiety, and I've learned that I just start communicating with the Father. Thank you, Jesus, thank you for freedom. Thank you for whatever's going on here that you show me if I need to be shown. But Lord, if it's something against the enemy coming against me, I thank you for freedom. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for the fruits of the Spirit. I just continue to pray in tongues. It's powerful. It's powerful. But understanding again that foundation though has to be the love of God, right? If you don't have the love of God, then it's just a clanging cymbal. Amen. Amen and amen. So let me just say a couple more things before we pray for one another and we get an opportunity, if you want, just to pray in the Spirit. So yeah, I just started praying in the Spirit, right? Just started praying in the Spirit. And as I did that, it becomes just part of my life. I did never had the experience my wife did. But since then, I've had some very powerful experiences. You know, I remember not too long ago, me and my wife had been counseling with somebody. And God had really moved in helping us to bless this person, right? And so we went to meet with this person again. We've met with him quite a bit of times, and God is doing a good work, an awesome work, and continuing to do a great work in that person. But as I went into the office to meet with her and Gina, all of a sudden I had this desire to speak in tongues. So I knew that she believed in speaking in tongues. So, you know, you got to use wisdom. If you're with people, you know, if you're talking to somebody and they don't know about it, or you don't know if they understand it, what they're understanding, you can do more harm, right? So, but I knew that this gal believed in speaking in tongues. And so when I went into the office, I had that desire. So I said, hey, let's open up in prayer. And I just started speaking in tongues. And right then the Lord showed me something and says, this is what's going on with that girl. Not that it was something about, hey, this is how the enemy is trying to attack this individual. And the Lord showed me like that. Where we'd had great times of sitting together and counseling the Word of God and what the Word of God says, because, you know, it's the truth that sets us free, amen? So, but at that time when I went in there, I just had the desire to speak in tongues. And right when I did that, the Lord just showed me, hey, this is what the enemy's trying to do. So that counseling session, we knew what the enemy was trying to do. I mean, within the first 5 minutes. See, that's our God. He is so desirous to speak to us. He's just so desirous to reveal himself to us. He's so desirous for revelation. And see, revelation comes from the Word of God, the power of God, amen, in the Word, but it also comes through the gifts of the Spirit. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So I've learned that for me, I'll just speak in tongues because that's what I do. And other times I have this desire. And when I have this desire, I know God is getting ready to tell me something. And I, you know what I do when he does it? I say, God, keep doing that. Because I want to hear from you more and more. Lord, I want to be more receptive to your voice. And one of the ways that you can do that is through the Holy Spirit by the speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, let me just say this, that sometimes what can happen for people that can resist it is a lot of times it's their background of what they've been taught by it. It can be that, what they've been taught by it. I was part of a Baptist thing for some time. And don't get me wrong, the Baptists are they're grounded in the Word. The Word of God is what they're grounded in, and that's good, right? But they also told me that, you know, speaking in tongues is of the devil. So when you hear that and you start fighting with that, or what can happen, too, is you can have an experience with maybe where the gifts of the Spirit weren't practiced, you know, properly. Maybe it was scary. Maybe things were said to you because, hey, those things could be taken out of context. I remember years ago before me and my wife were married, which was some time ago now, I remember somebody was prophesying over her, and I knew that what they were saying was absolutely not true. I knew what they were saying was from their own mind. How I know, I don't know. But we exercise and practice the spiritual gifts, we get a discernment too. What we don't want to do is throw the baby out with the bathwater. So what I would like to say is if you don't speak in tongues, I would recommend that you do. And if you do speak in tongues, I'd recommend that you start speaking in tongues more. I pray that you'd be more receptive of the supernatural. What can happen if we're not careful is to feel comfortable. Our flesh is comfortable with the Word, maybe just the Word of God, right? We love the Word of God. Nothing going to take the place of the Word of God. But sometimes our mind and our flesh gets real comfortable with just that. And I remember like 3 or 4 years ago, I'm going to continue on just what's on my heart here with this, is I was leading prayer. And when I would start speaking in tongues, leading prayer, pre-service prayer, there'd be this pressure coming against me saying, shh, don't do that. Keep it down. That was the enemy in the atmosphere. Shh. So what did I do? Well, if you come to pre-service prayer, you know what I do. I pray in spirit with a, not shouting and screaming, and you know, but I've got my voice raised. I start roshata barrikiando roko babarrikiando roto babarrikiata rakashoto babarrakashata babarriki rondo barrikiata barraka babarrakata barriki. And that's exactly what I do. And I kept doing that and kept doing that. And that thing that was going, shh, keep it down, Chad. That thing began to lift. And it began to lift. That when I'm here now on Sunday mornings, pre-service prayer, that's not even a thought now. Because that enemy in the atmosphere, whatever that is, says, no, we don't want him raising his voice anymore. Leave him alone. So what I encourage you tonight is as we stand up, if we could spend a little time in prayer. If you've never spoken tongues, let me can tell you this. This is what I've learned. You can say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me just say this. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit, because Romans 8 says if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to him. So there's also this thing that'll say amongst Pentecostals that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. That's an absolute lie, because the Word of God says that we are saved by grace through faith. You're only saved by putting your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and then you're born again, amen? But the Holy Spirit has much more for us, and the world won't recognize it. The world will make fun of it. The world will mock it, but I don't care, because I want everything that God has for me as far as the spiritual gifts. And so when you get desperate enough, Lord, I want everything you have for me. I don't want to leave anything on the table. So I've learned not only that the revelation of the Word of God, hallelujah, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because 1 Corinthians 12 says that there's gifts of spirits that God has given for every individual as he sees fit. But a lot of us never come to realize what they are. I pray that God again be praying that he would release his Holy Spirit in services, but it's got to be him. Because I've seen people try to make it happen, and it became a mess. The flesh can't produce the Spirit. Right, amen? Amen? Did you?
With me receiving the gift of tongues, it was a very skeptical start to my heart, right? So I was, my prayer was, if this is real, Lord, show me. And he brought me to the scriptures, you know, seek and you shall find. So I just kept seeking. I found all the scriptures that talked about it and just kept, you know, diving into it. And that's kind of where my experience lied as far as that. And I was at another church. I would go up front, you know, hey, they're receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, yeah, I want whatever the Lord has, whatever the Lord has. And it just, to me, it felt very forced and not genuine when I was at that other place. And but I still kept seeking. I was like, there's something here. I know there is. They just had, I just kept saying like hallelujah, hallelujah, over and over again when I was getting prayed for, but I just didn't receive my language. And, several months passed and, we started going to, home, family church, and, wasn't a few weeks before I came up front and, two nice ladies right here as I stand prayed for me, and I received my prayer language that day, and they were just so encouraging, and God was a gentleman with it. So if you're skeptical out there today, I just want to encourage you. It can start with a syllable. For me, it started with ra-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and that's all I could say that day. But she was so encouraging. She just goes, you're doing it. You're doing it. Keep going. And like Chad said, Pastor, he's that's the best thing, best advice you have is keep doing it. And man, it's just so edifying. He's blessed me with just singing in the spirit even sometimes. It's just so amazing. So I just want to encourage you. If you're skeptical, it's okay. Seek and you shall find, because I know I did right here. Yeah. It can happen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Does anybody else have a testimony about that?
Yeah.
This is Bobby McPherson, if you don't know.
Now, y'all, I don't want you to laugh at me, but when I was a little girl, my grandma used to say, she was a Christian. Now, she read her Bible every day. But she told me there were some little kids lived down the street. And they were holy rollies. And she said, stay away from them. Because they speak a language that's from the devil. So, when I got older, I never wanted to be a holy rollie. Because, you know, when you're little like that, that goes in your mind. And you don't forget it. So, when I met my husband, he says, would you like to go to church with me? And I said, what church you go to? And he said, I'm Assembly of God. I'm a Pentecost. I said, don't think so. I said, I was taught if you speak in tongues, you are from the devil. Because my grandma always told me, but I'm not sure that my grandma really believed that, because she would always say, now, if you have done something wrong and you want repentance, pray in your mind, because the devil can't read your thoughts. So I would always close my eyes and pray to God, because I didn't want the devil to hear my thoughts. But whenever God came and picked me out, we kept going to church. So, and I would see these people running around, and I would think, do they practice that? Do they tell them to do that? Did I make that up? So I've decided, we had moved to this place in Missouri. And all of a sudden, I was in a car, and we had bought this land. And there were so many mixed emotions about having to pay for it. So it was like God stopped me right in the middle of the road. And I just got the Holy Spirit, got out, and I prayed that land. I mean, it was 100 acres, and that whole land got prayed for. And we never had a problem, never did without, and we always made our payments. And if you think God don't come through, just pray and trust Him and give it all to Him. It's hard to do because you won't take it back, but you give it to Him, And that's how I became an Assembly of God. Well, now I'm non-denominational. I believe in God. But that's how I started speaking in tongues. Just hit me. And it just felt so good. It's like it just brings you to your knees and you know who your Savior is. So God is so good all the time. Just invite him into your heart and tell him, say, come and be, you know, he's a gentleman. He's not coming if you don't invite him, so invite him. And that's it.
Amen. Amen. Everybody's, thank you, Bobby. Everybody's experience is different, right? So this is what I suggest as we take a few minutes and pray. So I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to teach in tongues. So we're going to be doing things in order. But the way Paul was talking about it, he's not saying that you can never speak in tongues in the church. He's saying, hey, you're doing this the way you're doing it the whole time. And so then what did he say? He says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. So what it is on a Wednesday night is if you're uncomfortable, because sometimes you can say, well, I speak in tongues, but I'm uncomfortable in a group setting. Man, we're going to have to get past that, saints, for the Holy Spirit. Because when we speak in tongues together, as we begin to do this even on a Wednesday night, there's no telling what additional gifts the Holy Spirit will release on you and I. And the church. Yeah, that's what I mean, the church. And when we're praying in tongues, there's no telling what we're praying into the atmosphere. We're praying the will of God. So don't be uncomfortable. Get out of that uncomfortableness. Amen. Get out of that uncomfortable and you say, God, I want everything you have for me. If you haven't spoken tongues, you're no less than anybody else. You're still born again. Amen. You still love God. If you've got an understanding of his love and his grace, then you have what you need the most. Because if I've also been in years ago in the arena of speaking in tongues and all these gifts, but not understanding his love and grace. But when you understand his love and grace, and you do pray in the Spirit, and you got all these gifts of the Spirit, Spirit operating in your life, that means you have a full arsenal at your disposal. So if what we'd like to do is we could just spend a few minutes. Let's just pray. I'm going to pray out loud in English about some things. Some of you can start praying in tongues. And if you haven't prayed in tongues before, this is what I would just say. Lord, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit, you may feel like the Holy Spirit come upon you and then you begin to speak in tongues. Or you may be like me where by faith I just started speaking in tongues. Because it also says in that same chapter, let an individual prophesy according to his faith. According to his faith. So you're not always understanding, you're not always feeling some kind of rush of the Holy Spirit when you're operating in gifts. Sometimes you're doing it by faith. And sometimes even when we're making mistakes, you know, we can correct those. I'd rather be trying to put out a fire than trying to get one going, right? If there's little areas where it's going. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start praying for this nation. You guys could be praying for family. If some of you will start praying in tongues, and then I'm going to start praying in tongues. So let's spend a few minutes in prayer. Amen. Amen and amen. So, Father, we thank you. We bless you this evening. Lord, I thank you for this great nation of ours. Father, I thank you that the roots and the foundation of this nation are great, Father God. Well, I thank you, Father God, that the foundation of this nation, Father God, was upon Judeo-Christianity, Father God. And Lord, I pray that you would once again begin to build a house in America, Father God, where people, Father, spiritually, Father God, we begin to come to you, Father. I pray for a spirit of repentance, Father, to fall on this nation, Father God, afresh and anew. Lord, if your spirit doesn't do it, if your spirit doesn't move, Lord, we are working in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, those who labor in vain. So, Lord, we're asking for you to build a house here in America, a spiritual house, Father God. Lord, that you would make things happen. Lord, you know what needs to happen. You know how to bring each individual to you. So, Father, I'm praying for those, Father God, that are searching out there, Lord. They're searching for peace. They're searching for rest. They're searching for something to fill their inner being. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus. Jesus Christ to them, Lord, that they would give their lives to you, Father, that they would be set free, that they would be delivered, Father God. They would come to know your love. They would come to know your wholeness, that they would come to know your freedom, that, Lord, that it would come out of the lies of the enemy, come out of the lies of the enemy, and come into the truth and the love of God. Father, we thank you for your freedom. We thank you, Father, for breaking addictions, Father God. A nation that's full of addiction, Lord, only you can set the captive free. Lord Jesus, you came to set the captive free. So, Lord, we thank you for freedom from addiction in Jesus' name. Even, Father, in our own town, Chino Valley, we thank you for supernaturally breaking addiction over people's lives. Father, we thank you for people who've been trying for decades to be free, Lord, that you will free them, Lord. We thank you for moving in this time, in this hour by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Your word says that my house shall be a house of prayer. So, Lord, I pray for once again in your house, Father God, a spirit of prayer to fall in Jesus' name. Father, a spirit of unction to fall, Father God. A spirit of intercession afresh and anew by the Holy Spirit would fall in your house, Father God. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for tongues, Lord. We thank you for miracles. We thank you for healings. We thank you for word of knowledge. We thank you for word of wisdom, Father God. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you, Father God, for your gifts that you have in your spirit. Hallelujah, Father God. So we worship you and honor you. In Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you, Father God. Roshota babaraka shota babariki. Rondo babaraka shata babaraka rato babariki. Roto babariki ando robabaraka shata babara. We thank you for the fire of the Holy Spirit. Roto babariki arata babareko shoto babariki. Rondo babaraka shata babariki arroto. Roto babaraka shata babariki arata babariki. Lord, we thank you for being able to pray in the Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you have displayed principalities and powers, Father God. Lord, we thank you that you've defeated the enemy already. So, Father, we thank you for the truth that sets people free. Roto babaraka shondo babarata babariki arata babariki. Roto babaraka shata babarako shoto babariki. Rondo babaraka shata babariki andor. Rondo babariki andor. Rokoto babarata babariki oto. Rondo babariki ata babarako shoto babariki. Roto babaraka shata babariki. Roto babariki andor. Roto kandando rieto kotata riki andor babariki ato ta ki andor. Konyana mamarata babariki. Roto babaraka babariki. Kia robabariki robabariki rata babarako shoto babariki rondo babariki atabaraka babariki roto babariki robabariki ando roto babariki rokoshata babarot shoto babarakata babarakondo babariki rondo babariki atabaraka babariki roto babaraka babariando barakata riki atabariki. Lord, thank you for baptizing us in the Holy Spirit afresh and anew. Hallelujah. Roko babariki robabaraka Shata babariki. Lord, we hunger and we thirst for your righteousness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for blessing our homes with your peace in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for blessing our homes with peace. We thank you for blessing our homes with freedom. We thank you for blessing our homes with freedom. Lord, we thank you for the truth prevailing in our homes, and we love you. We thank you for peace and your love, Father God, prevailing in our homes. Hallelujah. Roto babaraka babariki. Roto babarakata babarato barraki ando roto barrakiara babarraki roto babarakashata babarraki ronda babaraka babarrakia roto roba barrakata barra. Thank you for blessing our children, Father God. Thank you for your hand upon our children in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that you love your children more than we ever could. Thank you for your hand upon them in Jesus' name. Roba barrakashata babarraki. Roba, a blessing, Father, to the third and fourth and fifth generation with your righteousness upon our children and our grandchildren, Father, and our great-grandchildren. Father, we declare that, speak that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Roto babaraka shata babaraki. Roba barata babariki arroto. Ronda babaraka babaraka shota babaraka babariki. Roto babariki arroto barriki. Roto babaraka shata babarikia babariki. Roba barraka shata babaroto babariki. Rondo babariki, rababaroko shoto babaraka babariki, rababaraka shata babariki, roto babaraka shata babariki, roto babaraka shata babariki, roto babaraka shata babariki, robo baraka shata babariki, rondo babaraka shata babariki, robo baraka shata babaraka babariki, rababariki. Rubabarka shala babarka babarki babarka babarki Rubabarka shala babar babarki a roto babarki Rubabarka shata babarka shata babar roto babarki a rata babarki Rondo babarka babarki a rkashata babarki Rubabarka shata babarki roto babarka shata babarki Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for pouring your spirit out, Father God, in the Quad City area. Thank you, Father, in a dry and thirsty area. Thank you for pouring out, Father, your Holy Spirit. Thank you for rivers of living water flowing from our bellies in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for stirring the gifts of God in our life. Thank you for stirring the fire of God in our lives. Thank you from out of our bellies flowing rivers of living water. So we declare that, and we speak that, and we love you and we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So as we were praying, I just felt like the Lord saying that he's going to continue to use you. Your time's not up, and he's going to continue to bless you, to continue to use you for his glory. He wanted me to tell you, because we were praying in tongues, that you are making a difference. Amen. You're making a difference. And so, Lord, we thank you for supernatural strength upon Paul and his wife. I'm sorry, what's your wife's name again? Nancy. We thank you for supernatural strength upon Paul and Nancy. Thank you for the gifts and the call of God upon their lives. And we thank you, Lord, that the outer appearance of age means nothing. Because what's the word of God say? Every day renewed. Day by day. Though the outward part of the body does its thing, the inner man is renewed day by day. So, Lord, say, continue to do what you're doing because it's making a difference. And so we thank you for that, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Blessing, Paul. Thank you for your hand upon our brother. We bless our brother in Jesus' name. Father, every accusing voice that has come against Paul or Nancy, Father God, we rebuke that in Jesus' name, Father God. And we bless him and we bless his household. We bless his children. We bless everything that he puts his hands to. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the anointing, Father, upon his life and Nancy. We thank you. We honor Paul right now and his ministry, Father God, even in the jails. Continue to use him for your glory in Jesus' name, Father God. We pray for a fresh anointing to come forth from Paul, Lord. We thank you that this is a day of new beginnings, that he's not wrapping it up, but God's going to continue to stir him and to release an anointing, Father God, to set people free that he comes in contact with. And we declare that right now in Jesus' name. And we give you the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. We thank you for that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. And see, that's something when you speak in tongues, God will stir other gifts. So is this, as I was speaking in tongues, and I'm going over here, I just knew that the Lord wanted to speak and encourage our brother. If we hadn't stopped and done anything, we wouldn't have that opportunity. Saints, that's so precious. The Holy Spirit is precious. We love him. We thank God. We thank God for his love for Paul and Nancy. God sees that ministry. God sees that ministry. He sees it. He sees it. Sometimes we can see ministries that are up in the pulpit, but in people that are in the trenches, going to prisons or jails, man, they make as much difference as anybody. Than anybody up here. God loves every individual. From the palace to under the bridges, there is no favoritism with God. He loves all people. They are precious in his sight because they are made in his image. It doesn't matter what we see on the outside. All God, all the people that are made are precious in God's sight, how he loves them. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter what they've done. They are precious in his sight. Doesn't matter nationality, what side of the tracks, everything that we hold dear, or what man, I tell you, what man raises up, God brings down. God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. Amen. Think of Mary Magdalene. I think that woman who had seven devils cast out of her, who was the least in all the society in Israel, was one of the handful of people, I'm telling you, maybe two or three people that knew Jesus more than anybody else on the earth when he was walking here. Matter of fact, when she saw him at the garden and went back and told all his disciples who were going to become these apostles, they laughed at her and did not believe her when she said, I saw him. What a precious woman. The least, who probably know Jesus like nobody else while he walked on the earth. Man, what this world raises up and gives glory to, that God's not impressed. He's impressed with where people are going to spend eternity. He is thinking about where are people going to spend eternity. Oh, how he loves people. Amen. Man, thank you, Jesus, that this church, how about you, this church is not given a value based upon how people's outer appearance. Amen. Now, let me say, God loves to take the least and exalt them. Amen. So the world says, how did that happen? Where did you come from? Where did you go to school or not go to school? Are you sure? Yeah. God loves, but we just humble ourselves. We pursue him and his love, and there's no telling where the Lord will take us. There's no telling where he'll take us. There's no telling people that walk through these doors, the love of God, the love of us, what it can do to that person's life. Doesn't matter. Amen? If this church will have that heart, God will always take care of us. Doesn't matter the numbers. It doesn't matter what, you know, the things, the exterior, some of the things that we see here. If we were living stones together, God will raise his house for his glory. For his glory. Amen. Do you love him?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We only got 15 minutes now. So that means we're not going to get very far into session number 51. Isaac, we're not getting very far at all. Do you love him? Doesn't the Holy Spirit want to demonstrate his power and his goodness and his grace in our lives? Man, how I love him. Man, how I love him. You know, I just think of little things. I just want to say, like Pastor Lee, our founding pastor here. I've told this story, but it made such an impact on me. So it's on a Wednesday night. And a guy with long, stringy, blonde hair walks in. He's got a leg missing, so he doesn't have a prosthetic, right? And so he didn't look like he had anything to offer this church or the world. Comes in, Pastor Lee gives his message, and as soon as the message is over and the service over, Pastor Lee just heads right for him and just begins to minister him and pray for him. And the next thing I know, I just see this blonde guy, just tears just flowing down his face. Man, I want to have that heart. I want to have that heart. And that's, I realized then that guy didn't have anything to offer the body. But yet that's where Pastor Lee went right after service ended. And sure enough, as Pastor Lee's compassion, his heart, that guy is just bawling. I never saw him again. I don't know if he's passing through town. I don't know anything about him. But I know it made an impact on me. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. I just want to say, I'm just going to say a couple things, and I've got 13 minutes. I think that can be an eternity to you, right? Seems like it. John chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. Bill, you still with me? Thank you, brother. So I just want, we'll see where we go for a couple minutes. It says, so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets. Remember, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And so he had five loaves of barley bread, and he had two fish. And he fed that whole group, didn't he? Daddy's so good to us. Amen. Verse 14, therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." And I wish their hearts were sincere here. We'll see that they really weren't for these people. Because even in verse 2, going back to verse 2 of chapter 6, it said a large crowd was following him because they were watching the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. So they were seeing those signs, seeing him do great miracles. And so they were saying, "Wow, who is this?" But when they saw him make food, multiply food, they began to say, this might be the one. This might be the Messiah. And, you know, when you think when Jesus was healing the sick, many were amused. This is what was going on during that time. When Jesus was healing the sick, there were those that were amused. They're like, "What's going on here? How is this happening?" See, many were conflicted. The Pharisees and Israel leaders were opposed to Jesus, weren't they? Matthew 12, 23 and 24. I just want to read that because this is kind of why this was going on. Why were these people not just embracing? Some of them, the least, were embracing him. Why were many of them not really embracing him? But they were amused, weren't they? Because in Matthew 23 and 24, it says, "And all the crowds were amazed and were saying," this is about Jesus, "the man cannot be the son of David, can he?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "This man cast out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons." So the religious leader, the government leaders were saying, "Now this isn't real. He's not the Messiah. He's false, actually. He's actually of the devil." So that just shows you right there that leadership, a government or leaders can convince people that even when a real move of God is happening, they'll say it's not real. So if there's a real move of God as it begins to happen in America, believe me, there's going to be a group of people that are opposed to God that are going to say it's not real, it's fanaticism, it's not of God. But that's exactly what they did to the Son of God when he walked on this earth doing miracles, and the leadership and the government were saying it's not real. If you go to China today, that's a communist country that does not believe it's atheism. So they're under the power and the influence of Satan. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to keep their people under their power. And this is the main thing they say: God's not real. God's not true. God can't help you. See, but it was no different during the time of Jesus. Not only under the Roman leadership, who really didn't care unless things got out of hand, then they were like, "Hey, what's up?" As long as the Jewish people were peaceful, they were okay. Do your religious thing. But the leadership was saying, it's not real. It's not true. You know, we have segments, just the way it is, you got to realize, we got segments of the government today that are saying it's not true. It's not real. It's fanaticism. It's bigotry. There's no right or wrong. It's whatever you believe. It's each man for himself. The enemy is always doing, he's always doing the same thing. He's not doing anything new. It's the same thing over and over and over again, and maybe a different package. But it's still the enemy, the god of this world, little g, right? Little g, who's always trying to convince people, even in Jesus' time, saying it's not real. So why do I say that? So there were some here that were saying, "Wow, I'm amused. Look at these miracles. But who? What is it? Is it God?" All the religious leaders, the government's telling us no. But when he made food, things changed. But was it for the right reasons? Was it for the right reasons? So number one, when we're talking about opposition, I just read government opposition, right, to the things of God. You would thought you would never see that in America, but we are seeing government opposition to the move of God. Are you buying into it? I'm not. So the thing is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, amen, what do you believe? Is it something on the 10 spies network? Amen? So what are you hearing? What can you be hearing that could be opposed to faith in God? Smith Wigglesworth is, I forgot the name of the, you guys heard of Smith Wigglesworth, and I can't remember the name of the guy who gave this testimony, but he went to see Smith Wigglesworth in England. And I remember he knocked on his door, and he had an umbrella, and he had a newspaper. And when Smith Wigglesworth opened the door, he looked at him. And he said, you can come in, but that pack of lies has to stay outside. Yay. And he took his newspaper, pulled it out, and threw it into the street. And that was like in the 1920s and 1930s. So some things have never changed, saints. See, well, this is what Jesus said about the government opposition in Matthew 23 and 15. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Ouch. And so I want to say this, that you realize this, that most every government in the world is opposed to Jesus. Did you realize that? This last beacon really of light in America, we the people. That's why we do stand up for the truth. Stand up for righteousness. We're not in China that if you say anything, you're going to prison. No, it says we the people here. So if we don't stand up with God's power and his love and declare his goodness, declare his salvation, why we still can, what happens? What happens if the voice of the church is quieted? See, that's what the government was trying to do during the time of Jesus. They were trying to kill him. That's why Jesus spent so much time out in the rural areas. He really couldn't go to Jerusalem that often because they were trying to kill him. And then there's the societal pressure. John 12, 42 and 43 says, nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. This is Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him so that they would not be excommunicated from the synagogue. For they love the approval of people rather than the approval of God. Wow. See, that's another pressure here. So we got governmental opposition to God. We got societal opposition to God. You see, the pressure is if you say anything about truth or I've given my life to Christ and he set me free from whatever demonic, wicked thing that had control of you. We all had those things, amen. God has set you free. But if you stand up and say anything against that, there's a part of society that is wicked and of the devil that will try to shut you up. And so the thing in this day, in this hour, you and I have to ask one another is do I have to have the approval of man? If I stand up for his goodness, if I stand up for truth, are we going to be okay that a large part of society now is going to oppose you? See, they love the approval of man rather than the approval of God. So my question is you is, would you rather have the approval of man or the approval of God? Amen. God. There's many people now we've heard that they'll get fired that if they don't, I was even in hockey. Isn't that a man's man sport? I mean, hockey seems like to me, that and bull riding, there's nothing tougher, right? You've seen those stickers on the back of cars that says, give blood, play hockey? Have you seen that? But one guy, you know, they had the LGBTQIA night, and they had these colors you're supposed to wear to support that movement, and he would not do it. And the societal pressure against him was great. But he said, hey, I'm not opposed. I love all people, but I'm not going to wear that because I belong to Jesus. He has set me free. And I'm not going to wear something that says otherwise. But the societal pressure on him was great. There's people that are losing their jobs in society if they'd not bend their knee to this new God, whether it be LGBTQIA or global warming initiatives, or whatever it is. All of these are modern-day idols. And if they don't bow their knee, they lose their jobs. It's unlike what happened in Babylon, right, when they had that 90-foot gold statue made by Nebuchadnezzar, right? And he said, everybody's going to bow to this. And if you don't, You're going into a fiery furnace. And so Meshach? And Abednego. I used to know those names. Radshak, Meshach, yep, that was, but that's the ones I can remember. We know who I'm talking about though, right? And so what did they say to the king? We will not bow down. We serve God alone. And if he doesn't deliver us, just let it be known. We don't care. We'll go into your furnace of fire. So Nebuchadnezzar, he got really mad. He said, heat that furnace up 7 times. Did you know we're in a society today where it feels like Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, we're in a Babylonian system, feels like right now like the enemy's saying, heat that furnace 7 times, hotter than it was. But the people of God, amen, this is what I believe, the people of God saying, we will not bow to your idols. And even if God don't deliver us and we die, we'll be with him, hallelujah. But if we get thrown into the furnace fire, and then what did Nebuchadnezzar say? He's like, what? They're not burned up. He says, I see a fourth man that looks like the son of, what did he say, the son of man? Is that what he said? Or the son of God or whatever, which we believe that was Jesus in there, amen? And then he calls them out and says, hey, come on out of there. So they came out of there, didn't smell like smoke or anything. You know what that Babylonian system with that wicked king did? He promoted them. So he promoted them. So you and I, as we feel the world system, that we feel like Satan's saying, heat that furnace up 7 times hotter than it was. As society feels like it's coming against Christianity like never before, saints, let us stand up for God. Let us have the attitude, amen? Let us have the attitude. Though you throw me in the furnace, if I die, I'm with Jesus. Amen. But let it be known, if we do die, we'll never bow to your idol. Because we serve the God of Abraham. Daniel serves the same God as we do. We're children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the revelation, the Messiah coming through Israel, right? Coming through King David. And so you and I, joint with true believers, like whether it's an Israelite or regardless of your background, where you're from, we're all of one body now. Amen? We are one body. So the thing is, Lord, as you stand up with me, Lord, if you stand up with me right now, can you say this, Lord? I don't care how hot the furnace is. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on you. Father, I'm stirring myself up that the fire of God in me, will strengthen my family. Lord, I won't give up or give in because promotion comes through those fires. As you know, promotion from God comes through those fires. And we say, I will not bow to the enemy. I will not bow to the voice of Satan. I will continue to worship him. I will continue to honor God. And I don't care what happens to me. I belong to him. And then the next thing you know, God's saying, come out of that fire. Come out of that thing you've been going through. Come out of it. You're done with this. And I'm actually going to promote you because you did not give up on me. Hallelujah. We didn't give up on you, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for that tonight. We bless you. We worship you. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for softening our hearts. We thank you for revealing your goodness to us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for setting the captive free. We thank you, Father God, our hearts are soft. We'll continue to trust you. We'll continue to declare your glory out of our mouths until we see the victory in every area of our lives. So we speak it and we declare that tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit speaking to each and every individual here, Lord. And so we honor and thank you tonight, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you tomorrow morning when we wake up, Father, we pray for just a tune on our lips of worship or scripture coming to our mind. Something, a nugget of you tomorrow morning. First thing, Lord, we open our eyes, our hearts and our minds be focused on you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, make sure you tell my wife, Gina, it just wasn't the same when she wasn't here, so it just wasn't the same. Yeah, we thank you for my wife's healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great evening.